1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still combing the rubble of a Latter-day Saints church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, a day after police say a local Marine veteran drove his car through the front doors, opened fire, and set the building on fire. Paul Kirby was outside.
I open up the door and start running, trying to find my family, and that was the scariest moment of my life, is not knowing my family was okay.
Suspect shot and killed by police. President Trump will meet with congressional leaders as a Wednesday morning deadline looms. CBS's Robert Costa.
The president believes he has the power, I'm told, to use executive power to get rid of federal jobs, to cut some federal salaries should there be a shutdown.
Some in Missouri have concerns after the governor there signed a law creating a new congressional map that could add one GOP seat.
Particularly the controversy over whether the districts were drawn in a way that's clear or whether there are voters who are technically in two districts. And the governor seemed to say that he'll let the courts play that out as they will.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a death investigation underway in the town of Belmont. The Portage County Sheriff's Office received a call of a suspicious vehicle at Fountain Lake Boat Landing a little after 11 a.m. on Friday. Sheriff's deputies found the vehicle, which had an alert from another county to do a welfare check on the driver. The deputies found two other people in the park area who reported there was a man on the trail not far from the boat landing who was deceased. The name and age of the deceased man is not being released at this time, and the circumstances surrounding their death is under investigation. The Portage County Sheriff's Department urges that if you or someone you know is having a mental health concern or are in crisis, to reach out to law enforcement or a mental health professional immediately. There's tech help at McMillan Library this week. If you need help with a device like your cell phone or maybe a tablet or Kindle, you can stop in for Tech Help Open Lab. It's on Wednesday, October 1st from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the McMillan Library Meeting and Training Room. Mid-State staff will be there to help, and you don't need to make an appointment. Just bring your device. On Thursday at the library, the McMillan Concert Series continues with Medusa. This free concert is on Thursday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the Library Fine Arts Center. Medusa is described as a cross-pollination of the sounds of Middle Eastern, Scandinavian, Celtic, Appalachian, and Eastern European music, as well as original tunes. These four folk musicians say they're a reimagined Western string quartet that are connecting audiences across dividing lines of culture and identity beneath. That's this Thursday at 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
The Brewers cruise into the postseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers finished the regular season with 97 wins after beating the Reds 4-2 Sunday. Next, the Brewers wait to find out if they'll host the Cubs or the Padres in the divisional round on Saturday. NFL, Sunday Night Football, Packers and Cowboys. The game going into overtime and ending in a 40-40 tie. Jordan Love on the final play to Emmanuel Wilson. It fell short of a touchdown, and they had to settle for a field goal.
We tried running a double move, and their defense, they were playing pretty soft. We didn't get the look we wanted. Threw it to E. Was hoping we could, make somebody miss, and, we didn't.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
You don't play the game for ties. I don't care about the stats. I don't care about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I just care about the end result and the win. And so when you don't get that, it's a weird feeling.
That's Dak Prescott with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 48.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. It is nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning, September 29th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison at Civic Media Headquarters, Studio A2. Coming up later this hour, our friend author Laura Bird will join us to mark this week's annual Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation about Native American boarding schools and several books that touch on that particular sad chapter of American history. We'll be hearing from Jane Matinere later this hour about what she and Greg Bach will have on Matinere on Air starting at 9 o'clock, and that will include your next chance to win in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And the news headlines today, the former state, I always want to say Commerce Secretary, but it's now the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, former Secretary Missy Hughes announced this morning that she's running for governor. So she joins a crowded Democratic field of candidates to succeed Governor Tony Evers in the 2026 elections. If you missed it late Friday, there were some other 2026 candidate announcements. Bill Berrien got out of the governor's race, the Republican businessman, and Democrat Laura Benjamin dropped out of the race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. That leaves two other Democrats, Becca Cook and also Emily Berge from the Eau Claire City Council, is still racing to have one of them take on Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden. There's a lot of motivation to take on Derek Van Orden and to unseat him from the 3rd Congressional District, not only for votes that he's taken that will be hurting farmers and frankly, anybody who needs health care in the 3rd Congressional District, but he has been undergoing what could quite accurately be described as a new red scare in this country. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder, there were plenty of people, myself included, who said that this was a true tragedy, that this should not have happened. But let us not sugarcoat who Charlie Kirk was, what he said, what he stood for. And I'm going to be first in that parade of people to make sure that we do not lionize or turn into a martyr this person who should not have been a victim, but we're also not going to sugarcoat who he was. A lot of people made comments to that effect. And Derek Van Orden and many others held them up for targeting, for threats, for doxing. And there have been, at this point, hundreds of people who have lost their jobs simply for expressing their points of view on the Charlie Kirk murder. One of those people no longer working in the job that she thought she was secure in is Krista Lasecki, who had been teaching in the Ellsworth School District until a few days ago. She's one of those people that Congressman Derek Van Orden chose to single out, and it unleashed some a certain segment of the population. And Krista is no longer in a classroom doing the work that she does best. And she joins us now to tell us more about the experience. Krista, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your willingness to join us at what is definitely not an easy time for you, but you were teaching high school math in Ellsworth. Tell me about your teaching career, how long it lasted, and what all you've enjoyed doing.
This was my 32nd year, and I felt like as excited about it as I had in the beginning. I just love teaching, and I love teaching math because kids don't hate math. They just hate feeling dumb. And so that was my job, to make them know that they're not dumb.
And it's something that, again, you've been doing, this was what, your 32nd year, you said, of teaching?
Yeah.
Third year in Ellsworth. And you, I'm betting that you did not start any social media accounts like just yesterday. You've been on social media for some time. You know how it works.
Yes.
Okay. So you put things out there, and people, you know, don't always agree with what you have to say, but that's the nature of social media, is you say things and people comment back and forth. So let's get to these specific events following the Charlie Kirk murder. You know, tell us about, you know, what it is you posted, and then what was your first indication that things were not going to go the way that, you know, they typically do on people's social media posts?
Well, the night that he was murdered, I was watching the news and, you know, scrolling on social media, and I was just getting caught up in the frustration of sanitizing this man's life because of the way that he had been murdered. And it was not my finest moment, but I quoted him in his belief that some gun deaths are okay because they protect the Second Amendment. And I regretfully said that that you can't be upset about this because he fulfilled his destiny. So it was not my finest moment, but I had quoted his exact words. That Friday morning, I got a call from administration on the way to school at about 6:15. And then by 10 to 8, I was told to go home.
What did they tell you? Let me back up a second, sec, that you have reached a separation agreement with the school district. So there are probably things that you can't talk about. But from a general standpoint, what is it that got you in trouble?
Well, I'm honestly not exactly sure, only because it was a post that was done at night on my personal computer on my own time on a Facebook account that did not say where I worked. But the administrator that spoke with me just said that it had caused a firestorm. And that was it.
Was there anything in your paperwork with the Ellsworth School District or any of your other teaching jobs that said anything about foregoing your First Amendment rights to free expression when you're not at work?
No. I did have one person, thank heavens, shout out to Tiffany, who said, don't ever put where you work on it. Mm-hmm.
But it turns out you didn't have to, because there were other people who were willing to do this, not to mention your congressman. When were you first aware that Congressman Van Orden had been part of the quote unquote firestorm?
Honestly, it wasn't until I had a meeting with the district that I was made aware that he had threatened the school district's funding and the city's funding.
And I want your reaction to that. When you heard that a member of Congress had looked at your post and threatened to cut off funding to the city of Ellsworth and or the school district, what did you think about that coming from your congressman?
Well, he's not my representative.
Okay.
But I was shocked because the comments from people who disliked what I had to say were, you know, she's a danger to be in the classroom. But if he thought that I was dangerous, what does he think defunding schools is going to do? Like, that hurts the entire community. And if he really is concerned about Ellsworth, then that's not the path to take.
Yeah, I'm not really hearing concern from him about Ellsworth or education. He's somebody who's threatened to defund federal funding to the entire Mayo health system, which serves countless people, you know, in and around your area and all throughout his particular congressional district. So did you feel when, again, the words that were used, like, you know, domestic terrorism and threats and everything, did you feel that those might have been a bit overblown?
A bit is an understatement. I mean, I'm not glad that Charlie Kirk was murdered, and I'm not happy with the way that I worded that. But I'm not a danger to students, and certainly a larger danger is to defund, you know, medical systems and school districts and cities in general.
We're talking to Krista Lasecki, former teacher in Ellsworth, about comments that, you know, she and many other people made about Charlie Kirk, and many other people have found themselves either without a job or facing the threat of unemployment as a result. Now, in your case, I mean, this has happened. This damage has been done. There's the possibility of legal action, perhaps. But for now, what has happened has happened. I've talked about the backlash to the backlash, that there was all this, what I want to say is emotional rhetoric from people like Derek Van Orden and others. But in the wake of what has happened to you and others, I feel like there's been a backlash saying, hey, you're fine to be angry. You're fine to want to defend Charlie Kirk. But this whole thing, getting people fired, attacking the First Amendment, attacking funding, you know, is beyond the line. Do you sense that as well, that there is a growing backlash to the people like Derek Van Orden, or are you more concerned that this is a new normal in America for a while?
Well, certainly that's a concern of mine. But I think that there is definitely a grassroots movement to unseat people like Van Orden, who think that he should be able to squelch the First Amendment from his seat of power, which is the definition of, you know, violating my civil rights.
Is that something that you think may, you know, the violation of your civil rights is something that you may choose to go forward with?
I really haven't, you know, gotten there yet. I'm still reeling from having to clean out my classroom yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, 32 years of teaching and, you know, deciding where you go from here, is teaching still something that you have a desire to do, perhaps not anywhere near Derek Van Orden's district?
I love teaching. You know, any time that I can get into a classroom is going to be a plus for me, but I can also, you know, help kids by tutoring, or even just subbing in a high school allows me to have access to, you know, helping kids. So that's my goal, is to somehow continue to connect with kids and math in specifically.
I don't doubt that you will, honestly, in some ways that, you know, again, good people, good teachers, find that path forward. I have the utmost confidence that you're going to find that. And frankly, I think you're going to find a degree of justice as well. It won't be easy. And it is honestly a damn shame. It's an American shame that, you know, a teacher in the United States has to go through this. But I do appreciate you telling us about it and for sharing your story. And I hope that you will keep in touch with us, Krista.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Krista Lasecki, former teacher now in the Ellsworth School District, visiting with us this morning. It's 8:19. When we come back in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be talking to author Laura Bird about book recommendations for a different kind of dark chapter in American history. And that deals with Indian boarding schools and the ravages that it brought to children here in the United States. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When your name's on the paint job, your primer better hold up. Painter's Trust kills primers for serious adhesion, stain blocking, and a finish that lasts. Now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same day or next day delivery, or order online and pick it up in store. Kills primers. Pro results. Faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Any student at Howe can get permission from any staff member to come into this place and regulate. We have a whole menu of options on the wall for them to be able to. Some kids just need to sit in quiet. So we might have a blackout tent that they can just crawl into and for 3 minutes just be alone. They might need to swing or spin. And so we have opportunities for them to swing or spin or use their hands and dig into things, take some TheraPart putty and rip it apart and just get some frustration out. But that's becoming more and more needed for today's student, especially as they learn to regulate some of these emotions that they don't even know what they are yet.
And to that point, and some of the things we're talking about here, it's why it's all the more important that our schools are so adaptive to modern families and modern parents and offering resources to support not only those things, but academic learning. Can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard to be a parent. Yes. Holy cow. I think all of us right in here.
End of sentence. Yes, it is
hard to be a parent today. Our kids, you said it, James, they are dealing with things that we never imagined when we were growing up, right? Never imagined. And so we recognize that there's also a role for parents or for family, or wow, let me start over. There's a role for schools to help families learn how to reengage, right? Because it's not only is it different raising kids, but the education is different now that our kids are receiving than we had it, right? So we are really trying to take up the role of providing parents resources as well on how can I actually help my kid academically at school. And so one of the things that we've done this year at Howe is we've partnered with an outside organization called the Parent Institute. And they provide some newsletter resources. And the newsletter that we've subscribed to, and the first one will be coming home in October to our families, it's called Helping Kids Learn. And it's a one-pager front and back of just practical tips on how parents can help set their kids up for success at school. Everything from the importance of setting routines at home to Setting a hard cutoff time at night to say, okay, we're done with screens. Let's put those away and let's get ready for the next day. And it, the list goes on and on. But we recognize that because our kids are different now, we also as parents need to engage them differently. And we want to, as a school, invite parents in different ways to do that.
You know, so many of the things we, when we talk with people, it's a meeting people halfway or some of that. I am blown away by our public schools. And every time I talk with you guys, it's more than halfway, going above and beyond, and literally doing whatever you can to reach these families and reach people. And at the very least, have that offer, that opportunity for families in that. And I would encourage, and certainly there's never been a time in human history where parents shouldn't be involved with their kids mm-hmm. and be in tune with their kids. It's probably never been more needed for mm-hmm. that. And not just for all the basic reasons that we all hopefully know out there, but also for, again, going back to it, we don't know what it's like to be that, right. to be in that age, to be in this day and age that young. You yourself as an adult are going to learn more about that and be that much more in tune with it, and maybe even learn some of whatever the new cool words are to say, because I don't know what the new lingo is, and that's a big part of this.
It changes, right? We could go through all the lingo that we know right now, and by the time we air this, right, it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
Or but just as adults saying it, we will kill the word.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of fun, too, to see our kids. It's cringe, you know, when you drop some of those, it's a lot of fun. But, you know, James, you're 100% correct. And we really look at, and I tell you what, how families are the best. Like you, I will debate you on that and stand on that hill for the rest of my life because they are the best. And we have such a great parent organization whose goal is to provide opportunities and times for families just to be together, right? And that's hard with the increasing number of distractions that we have in our world and youth programs and some of that. Sometimes it's just hard to be together. And so one of the great things about being at Howe is we have monthly family nights. And our first one is coming up this Monday night from 5 to 6. We're going to have a school kickoff picnic right on the front lawn. So as you're driving down 8th Street from 5 to 6 o'clock on Monday night, you're going to see a lot of people because we had almost 80 families register for this event to come and just spend time together. You know, next month in October, we're going to do a trunk or treat event around back, and our staff loves it. They get all dressed up, and we just open up our trunks, and it's just another opportunity to provide for families to be together. Because that's so important as we continue to have a lot of these technology advancements is just to put it all away and just be together.
Well said. And always good talking with you, Steve. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we put Ron on the spot and get to him a little bit?
No, I don't think so. It's just it's a great time to be at Howe, and it's a great time to be in WRPS.
Go Bulldogs.
That's
go
right.
Bulldogs.
That's right.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. We'll get your contact information, get that to the audience before we wrap up here. Ron, certainly wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. And something we were talking about in our pregame a little bit, you have a new community survey coming out. I was really curious about this.
Yeah, so approximately 5 years ago, we did a community survey within our community regarding operations within the school district, and we're going to be bringing that back end of October. Our board will approve it, hopefully in mid-October here. Elicit opinions on operating our budget. Obviously, we're at the end of a five-year non-reoccurring referendum that the taxpayers graciously gave us approximately 5 years ago. So we're going to look at that and then continue to explore capital and needs within our school district. We're well aware that there's a declining population within the state of Wisconsin with students within our school system. I was in a meeting this morning that said there's 5,000 less students in Wisconsin schools this year than last year. And just to maximize our resources within our community. It's important for us to do that, and it's important for us to continue to work with our collaborative partners, and we do that.
And I brought this up earlier for a reason, knowing we were going to be talking about this. I was talking about how our public schools do such an amazing job going over above and beyond and reaching out to families and not just meeting them halfway, but you know, over 75% of the way most times and mm-hmm. you know, making it that way. This is where it comes on families to put things into action, too. And when it comes to these surveys and filling these out and taking the couple minutes it takes and literally minutes it takes mm-hmm. to fill these out, if you want to be heard, if you want your community to be represented right, or to get the right things done, you have to fill out these surveys. We know that people see some of the same numbers you do or mm-hmm. see some of these things. this is how we make change or change if it's needed for things and add to things.
Yeah, and one of the questions that's going to be on the survey is how else do you want our schools to be open? What else do you want us to be exploring, doing? We know our schools are open almost every night for Boy Scouts, basketball practices. We know we're a community hub. And such as at the old field house at East is open almost at City Rec almost every single night of the year. And so we really want to know how can we utilize our facilities and what do the community needs are. That
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman filling in for Melissa Kay. Last month, thousands of gallons of crude oil spilled when a train derailed in Dodge County. It made Civic Media's Parker Olson ask, how often do trains derail in Wisconsin and why?
In 2023, there were 27 reported derailments. The accidents are dangerous and can not only cost a lot of money, but also have the potential to spill hazardous materials. Oftentimes, these derailments happen in or close to populated areas. The National League of Cities says that two-thirds of all rail accidents happen within cities. That's because in and around those urban areas, the track has more curves and turns. That's when there's a higher chance of something going wrong.
When things go bad, they go really bad.
That's Mark Burrows, a retired locomotive engineer and the editor of the Railroad Workers United newsletter. According to him, train derailments have a few primary causes.
Inspection of the rolling stock, inspection of the tracks, the ridiculously long and heavy freight trains, and insufficient training.
Burroughs also says jobs have been cut over the years, making crews smaller, all while trains get longer. Some trains are well over a mile and a half long, posing a challenge for crews that often are just an engineer and a conductor. That's an issue of its own, cuts to crew size and jobs in general. Our research found that there have been 45 derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. The cause of 21 of them is reported to be human factor, but Burroughs warns that the decline in jobs, crew size, and a de-skilling of workers is a reason for many human-caused derailments. Burroughs also claims that track-caused derailments can often be attributed to fewer workers who need to inspect more rail track and having less time to do it than in the past. There have been 15 track-caused derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week, even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world. In the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 48.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matnair joins us for Matnair Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, if you ever want to listen back to something that you've heard on the program or missed something and want to catch it, you should pod this program by heading over to Spotify and following us there, or Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And that way you can set it up for however you like. I know I've got several podcasts where I have like five episodes downloaded, the five most recent episodes. You can make it three, one, whatever. And that way you can, you know, catch it on demand when you want to. So again, we love having you live on the radio or on social media. But you can also take us along as a podcast and listen on demand. Back to our conversation with Crystal Lysecki from Ellsworth a minute ago about losing her teacher job for the basically, you know, speaking out about Charlie Kirk and the kind of person he was and the things that he said. And it cost her her job, thanks to Congressman Derek Van Orden. If you would like to support Krista in that effort, she does have a GoFundMe page up. I do like the headline, support a teacher's right to speak freely. And so we'll put a link to her GoFundMe in the show notes as well that you can read over at civicmedia.us sometime after the show. Okay, we go on to another serious topic, and it too is an important topic that we need to look at. It's called National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. It's marked in Canada. It's marked in the U.S. It's also known as Orange Shirt Day. And honors Indigenous children who suffered in residential schools, raising awareness about the tragic history of these schools and the ongoing impact on Indigenous communities in trying to take away a people's culture. And essentially, they were re-education camps. And there are a lot of books out there that can tell us about that era, things that we should not ignore, that we should know that part of our history so that we don't repeat things like that. And believe me, current events tell us more than ever we need to remember the things of our past and not repeat them. And of course, if we've got a bunch of books to recognize, well, it must involve Laura Bird, because she's here in Madison Studio 2A to tell us all about some of these books that we can look at for Orange Shirt Day. Laura, it is great to see you again. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having
all
me.
Right. No, thank you for this. And thank you for the suggestion for the topic here about the history of these schools. Have you talk a bit at first about the residential school system and what it was at its heart.
Right. Well, you set me up really good here. So as you mentioned, tomorrow is September 30th, and it's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation here in the U.S. And it's also called the Orange Shirt Day. And the inspiration for that came from a Canadian woman named Phyllis Webstad. And when she was a little girl, her grandmother bought her an orange shirt for her first day of school. But when she arrived at her Indian residential school, this shirt was taken away from her, along with, of course, her identity and her dignity. So this orange shirt has become symbolic of hope, reconciliation, and a commitment to a better future. So we'll talk more about those Indian residential schools in just a minute. But I just wanted to say tomorrow, you know, for September 30th, beyond choosing to wear an orange shirt or supporting someone who is wearing an orange shirt, one way that we can mark the important day is to read. And of course, Indigenous voices today are so rich and diverse, and there are great titles to choose from, especially right now, because we are in the middle of a Native American Renaissance. This is a real thing. It's a term that's used to reflect the significant increase of literary works by Indigenous authors. the book that kind of kicked this off was back in 1968. I have not read this book, but I tracked it down at my local library. It's called The Housemaid of Dawn by N. Scott Momaday. And so this novel is widely credited as bringing Native American literature and voices into the mainstream. And it won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 1969. So it set us up today for some really great titles, which, of course, is why I'm here.
Exactly. Okay. Do you want to start with the picture books?
Yes. I always start with the littles. We got to make sure we hit the little kids. So the first one is this adorable board book called My Heart Fills with Happiness by Monique Gray Smith. She is a Canadian writer of Cree and Lakota descent. And interestingly, she actually dedicates this board book to the former students of the Indian residential schools. So I think there's some nice synergy here. So this is a precious little board book for kids as they recount what they're grateful for. You know, singing, walking barefoot in the grass, drumming with their dad. The illustrations are really simple and soothing with little pops of primary color. And little kids from Indigenous families will absolutely see themselves reflected back in the pages.
Very nice. What else?
Okay, for older kids, still a picture book, For a Girl Becoming by Joy Harjo. So if you recognize the name Joy Harjo, it is because she was the Poet Laureate of the United States from 2019 to 2022. And she's a seventh generation Manawa and a citizen of the Muscogee Nation. So this picture book is beautiful. It's sort of a benediction for a baby girl and the life that awaits her, both beautiful and difficult. And because it was written by Joy Harjo, you know it's going to be poetic and lyrical. And it's about the many gifts that each side of the family bring to this new infant. Music, horses, seashells, turquoise. And one of my favorite lines from this book, because it's so beautiful, is, "Remember the source of the gift of all breathing," which I think is nice. Just gorgeous. Okay.
Let's move on to middle grade.
Middle grade. You know, I love middle grade. That's the age group I write for. So this is for your 8 to 12-year-olds. And I love James Bird. We are not related. But James Bird, spelled like mine, B-I-R-D, is of Ojibwe descent. And I love his stories, you know, for this age group, especially for boys and especially for boys who might not normally gravitate towards books. So this book, The Second Chance of Benjamin Waterfalls, is about a boy named Benjamin, and he's gotten caught one too many times shoplifting. And so his mom proposes sending him to boot camp at the Ojibwe reservation where they used to live. And so soon Benny is on his way to Grand Portage, Minnesota to move in with his dad, who he hasn't seen in a while. Enter in the tribal leader's daughter, and suddenly boot camp is not quite what Benjamin expected. Exciting stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk YA now. So young adults, this is your teenagers, right? These are your 13 to 18-year-olds. And I can't wait to talk to you about Angeline Bouley. She is amazing. She's a member of the Sault Ste. Marie tribe of Chippewa Indians, and she writes about her Ojibwe community living in the UP of Michigan. So her debut, which came out a few years ago, was called Firekeeper's Daughter, and it was hugely successful. In fact, I'm mentioning it today because I found out it's been optioned by the Obama's production company to be adapted into a Netflix series. So I have no idea when this is going to happen, but watch for that. But in the meantime, this is Angeline Bouley's second novel, Warrior Girl Unearthed, and it centers on a 16-year-old named Perry who uncovers a web of cultural theft. So she ends up embarking on this like dangerous, turbulent mission to reclaim her ancestors' heritage while also uncovering secrets that threaten the safety of her community. So this book is about activism, identity, and survival. And Angeline Bouley is known for being this like thrilling author, and there's lots of drama. So this is great for that YA audience. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that she actually has a third book that just came out. I don't even have a copy. It's like fresh off the presses. But it's called Sisters in the Wind. And it's a thriller, again, that incorporates some of these same characters and the same setting as her first two books. So
before we go on to the adult books here, we should also note if people are hearing all these books about our Indigenous communities, and they want to learn more. Is there a particular website that would be especially helpful for that?
I don't know of a specific website, but I was going to mention later in our chat that there is a wonderful bookstore called Birch Bark Books in Minneapolis. And if anyone lives close to Minneapolis or is driving through the city, you should absolutely stop there. It is owned by the legendary Indigenous author Louise Erdrich, who's one of my favorites. And she specializes in Indigenous titles and Indigenous authors. And to walk inside that bookstore is absolutely magical. I mean, you could just walk in the door and look at the display that she's got and learn more about all of these books and then some.
All right. That's birchbarkbooks.com. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. All right. Let's move on to the adult books, starting with fiction.
Yeah. Oh, this one's great. Never Whistle at Night. And this is an Indigenous dark fiction anthology edited by Shane Hawk and Theodore Van Alst. So, as I've learned, many Indigenous people believe that one should never whistle at night because it can cause evil spirits to appear and follow you home. So, hence the title, Never Whistle at Night. So, this is a very clever and sinister collection of 25 stories, and they come from Indigenous authors, both new and established. And these authors pose the intriguing question, are you ready to be unsettled? So, their stories center on ghosts, curses, family legacies, and acts of revenge. So, if you like fantasy, gritty crime, or sci-fi, this one's for you.
All right. I got about 3 minutes here to do four more books.
Okay. We're going to do it really fast.
All right.
Fire Exit by Morgan Talty. Morgan Talty is a citizen of the Penobscot Indian Nation, and he had an award-winning collection of short stories that came out a few years ago called Night of the Living Rez. But this is his novel, Fire Exit, and it's about a man named Charles who watches the life he might have had unfold on his reservation in Maine. He watches as this other family raises their daughter, Elizabeth, only no spoilers here. Elizabeth is actually his daughter. And so Morgan Talty writes so beautifully and hauntingly of legacy and bloodlines and inheritance.
All right. One more in the adult fiction?
Sure. This one, okay, this is hot off the presses. I haven't even read this book yet, but I had to mention it because it's getting so much buzz. It's called To the Moon and Back by Eliana Ramage. And she is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, and she spent more than a decade writing this novel. It's her debut, about a Cherokee woman who decides as a child that she wants to be an astronaut no matter the cost. So this is going to be hot this year, To the Moon and Back.
And finally, adult nonfiction.
Okay. Medicine River, a story of survival and the legacy of Indian boarding schools. So again, this ties in really nicely with Orange Shirt Day tomorrow. This book is by Mary Annette Pember. So as I mentioned earlier, as you mentioned, tens of thousands of Native children were pulled from their tribal communities to attend these boarding schools where they were forced to assimilate into white culture. And this was roughly from like the mid-19th century to the 1930s. Among the children at these boarding schools was the mother of the author here. Mary Annette Pember's mother was sent to a boarding school in northern Wisconsin at the age of 5. She faced a lot of trauma, and it was, of course, passed on to Mary herself. So in Medicine River, she incorporates interviews and careful reporting, and ultimately she paints a really stark but hopeful portrait of communities who are still reckoning with the trauma of these boarding schools.
Okay. And in our last minute, last book?
Last minute, Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. This is one of my favorite books of all times. She is a botanist, professor, and enrolled member of the Potawatomi Nation. And she writes gorgeously about our connection to the earth. She has a chapter about strawberries, one about corn, one about moss. And she shows us all the ways that we're connected to each other and to them.
All right.
Yeah, it's about living mindfully in reciprocity with the earth and really sharing our gratitude.
There's a lot there, and birchbarkbooks.com is a website you can check out as well. Laura Ann Bird, we always learn so much. Thank you so much for the visit today.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. We will be talking to Jane Mattiner. Find out what's happening next on Mattiner on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Did you know 1 out of 5 adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, the weekday version, the Sunday morning one that has a focus on politics. Just head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and while you're at it, sign up for the new Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and get your share of a couple of the best newsletters you could have to learn about all things Wisconsin. And along with that and this show, there's Jane Matinere. You're going to learn a lot about Wisconsin from her. How are you, Jane?
Good morning, Pat. I am fantastic, and I do just want to give a plug for the newsletter. They did a nice job.
Yes.
They do a great job, and it's a wonderful little aggregate of everything, and it gives you little tastes of everything.
Oh, that's what we should have called it, the Civic Media Sampler Platter.
Oh, but then if you want to know more, you can click on links and get more information. And it's really, they've done a great job.
Yes.
They've done a great job.
And, you know, before I forget the people that actually pay me at Up North News, Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor, will join us for the first time on Wednesday morning, right after the 7 o'clock news. So come meet Ellie on Wednesday morning.
Up North News has a great newsletter too.
Thank you. Yes,
you really do.
We've worked very hard on that, and so yep. And I I subscribe to a lot, and then I have to remember to unsubscribe from them. But I want to see what they're up to.
You're afraid it's going to come back and haunt you, and you're going to have to explain why you were following those accounts?
No, because I'm not Bill Berrien. I don't mind the stuff that I have surfed. It's okay. And I'm not busy trashing anybody. But you have to look at all these different newsletters to figure out, you know, where do you get useful information and what is junk? And, you know, then you just kind of set those aside. And look, the newsletter business is kind of like the radio or TV business. There's, you know, you never watch this or read or listen to the same things all the time. Things change.
Yeah.
And so that's where, again, if you're not seeing that Civic Media newsletter or the one from Up North News, go check those out. And you can read them while you're listening to programs like ours and Jane and Greg's coming up next. What you got happening today?
Well, Shali Pittman, Civic Media's news director, she is going to join us at 9:30. She does an incredible job keeping track of all of the things that are happening, especially locally in Wisconsin and across Wisconsin. So Shali's going to join us around 9:35. In hour number two today, our friend from UW-Madison, he is a wildlife expert. David Drake is going to join us. There was a report about the increasing number of PFAS showing up in Wisconsin ducks. And so if you are a duck hunter and you like to consume ducks that you catch, there are limits now. So we're going to be talking about that with David Drake as well. For the rest of the week, all kinds of stuff coming up. Todd Alba will be joining us tomorrow at 9:35. We're going to talk to Darren Von Ruden, who is the head of the Wisconsin Soybean Growers Association, or Wisconsin Farmers Union, I'm sorry,
yes. Mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin. So we're going to talk to Darren on Wednesday. Lots of things to talk to Darren about.
Oh, without a doubt. Darren Von Ruden is from the Farmers Union, who actually represents farmers. Derek Van Orden is the congressman, who does not.
And we're going to talk about Mr. Van Orden in the first half an hour as well, and fascists. Yeah. And Darren Van Orden now thinks that anyone who calls anyone a fascist apparently should go to jail or prison. Mm-hmm. We have a compilation of an interesting person who uses that word.
Really?
A lot. Yeah.
Who could that be? Who
one wonders.
Maybe should be in prison orange as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got that coming up. What'd you do over the weekend? Now, first off, let's establish the wisdom of our ages, of those of us of a certain age who can be Packer fans, but do not stay up way past our bedtimes to watch a tie in Dallas.
That was amazing. We, Paul and I both did a lot of work outside yesterday because it was such a beautiful day. And my neighbor had loaned me what I call their clippers of power. So I borrowed the neighbor's super clippers and I trimmed bushes and whacked bushes for like 2.5 hours yesterday. Ooh. I was so sore when I got done. I went to bed last night at 7:45 and I couldn't get comfortable. My shoulder hurts and my back hurts and my this hurts and my that. So I finally got up about 10 o'clock to come downstairs and take some aspirin.
Little dose of autism there that you took?
A little dose of bear is what I took.
Oh, okay, good.
And my husband was still up watching the game and I saw him go up 20-16. And I went to bed and thought, well, this is good. We'll be
good. Yeah,
we'll
me too. Good. I did. Yeah. It's 2016. I'm like, all right.
You know? I'm not going to worry about it. And then to wake, I heard you this morning, 40-40 tie. Gosh. Youch.
No, I'm not staying up for that. And it turns out that, again, maybe it's a reflection of our age, but we've got a local watering hole here where people gather for Packer games. And maybe it's just because it's early in the season. I don't know. But a lot of the usual suspects decided to sit this one out. You know, it's a late Sunday night. Maybe later in the season there would be reason for it if there were playoffs at stake or something.
Right.
But for this, it was like, no, I'll see you in a couple of weeks after the bye. You know, in the meantime, we get to get excited for Brewers baseball instead.
Absolutely. Lots of excitement there. Oh, by the way, if my husband is listening, happy anniversary a day late. I actually, I forgot our anniversary yesterday.
No.
I bought a card. I had the card all ready to go. And I got up yesterday morning before he did. And I'm having my coffee. And he comes in and gives me a kiss and good morning. And I said, good morning. He said, you know what day it is? I said, it's Sunday. What?
Oh, Jane.
I know. Oh. I forgot our 23rd anniversary.
Wow.
See, guys, so it's not just
it happens. It happens. Doesn't just happen to the guys.
No, it was me.
See, that's part of why when we were talking about wedding dates and all that, and ours is July 5th. And nice. my birthday is July 3rd.
Oh, geez.
So there's no way. I set it up so that I can't possibly escape, you know, from knowing when my anniversary is.
That's very wise.
Hey, that's my advice for a happy marriage is to never forget your anniversary. Cheat and pick something right next to important holidays. So Jane, Matt, and Eric coming up next, along with Greg Bach from Matt and Eric on Air. Thank you, Jane. Have a great
start
to the week.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Take care, Parker.
All right. And thanks to all of you for being part of things today. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll see you bright and early, 6 a.m. here back up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Michigan say the death toll could rise after at least four people were killed when a local Marine veteran plowed his car through the doors of a Latter-day Saints church, opened fire, and then set fire to the building. Paul Kirby was inside.
So we're sitting in a sacrament meeting, and we hear a loud boom coming from the back wall of the chapel.
Congressional leaders meet with President Trump today in a bid to prevent a government shutdown Wednesday morning. Democrat Tim Kaine tells CBS.
The only thing about the president's threat to fire more people is he's already doing it. And instead of threatening, he should just be meeting to negotiate.
The president will also take a meeting with Israel's leader. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be here at the White House as President Trump continues to push for a Gaza peace proposal.
CBS.